If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
You're listening to Rome Theme from Rise, Son of Rome, released November 22nd, 2013, composed by Borislav Slavov. What's up, BG Maniacs? Welcome to another episode of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. I, of course, am your host, Brian, and joining me on the show this week, he is the host of the Movie Bar, every month with the Dyad. It's Bedroth.
Hey, it's me. I'm back again.
And back again. You survived.
I did. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, but
You made it.
I'm here.
You made it to the Ides of March.
I did. Now we'll have to see if I make it through the Ides of March.
Yeah, it's not over yet. Real quick, if you'd be so kind, head on over to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you've chosen to listen to us on and drop us a quick rating and a review. Really does help us out in terms of visibility so that this show continues to grow. And remember, we are on Patreon now as well, patreon.com/RPG era. Check out our tiers, see what we're doing, and if you feel inclined, toss us a couple bucks each month. If not, continuing to listen to the episodes as they upload each week works wonders as well. And of course, special shout out to current executive producers, Jexax and Zanku. And before we get into the theme, I'm going to continue the shouting out of the Spotify comments as they continue to come in. We did get another one on our House of the Dragon episode from Jardle. If I'm pronouncing your first name wrong, I'm so sorry, but I think it's Jardle. They said, "I love this theme. Amazing episode, guys. Sending love from Brazil."
Brazil, awesome.
Heck yeah, man.
Nice.
I told you. BG Mania's worldwide.
Thank you for listening.
From Texas. Soon to be its own country.
Oh man, yeah. If this one lawmaker has his way, it's never gonna make it through the House, man. Although I don't know, stranger things have happened these last 10 years, so we'll have to see.
Stranger things
I might
have
just
happened
have to move
throughout history as well.
They have. Talk about a political intrigue.
Yeah. It all ties together.
It does. It does. And because of something that I'm sure you're probably about to say, I am not going to do my usual thing and word vomit a bunch of background on the topic this time, because we're going to be talking about that a little bit as we go through, aren't we?
Yeah. So did we even talk? I know you and I didn't discuss it all once we put together the calendar for 2023, which I had a lot of it done, right? Like at one point when I first shared it, I had a lot of things on there. And I'm fairly certain this was already on there. And
I think that
was one of the first things that you said. I was like, dude, that's really cool. Like you really liked the idea.
Yeah.
And
because you can go so many ways with it, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I didn't know what I meant by the idea, because all I knew is that the Ides of March was March 15th. And that's the day Julius Caesar died. That's all I knew about the Ides of March. That's probably all most people know about the Ides of March.
I was going to say, yeah.
However, there is a lot of things that have either been surrounding the Ides of March, March 15th, mm-hmm. the middle of the month. Things that, you know, were done. And really, there were so many avenues to explore based on just the idea of the Ides of March.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Going into this, you and I didn't speak at all. I mean, I had to assume, and I was right, and I'm sure you assumed as well, we would have some tracks relating to Julius Caesar somehow.
Of course, yeah.
However, there are a few from me and a few from you that I have no idea why you brought them, and I know you're just as confused when you saw mine. So
yep.
Instead of actually talking about the track, like, so that opening track was my first track on the episode today. Probably pretty obvious, but
very nice opener.
sets the theme for the I think the idea of the Ides of March, right? But talking about Rome theme from Rise, Son of Rome, again composed by Borislav Slavov. At this point, I would talk a little bit about it. However, before I do, I want to know, and this is what we'll do each time, how that fits in to the theme. But you have to tell me.
Well, I mean,
and it's pretty obvious.
Like you said, this first one was fairly obvious. Son of Rome. That is, I'm blanking on whether that was officially one of like Caesar's epithets at the time. I think it was, and I feel like I should know, because for any listeners who don't know, I used to be an English teacher. I actually taught Shakespeare's Julius Caesar several times.
I'm sure you know the entire thing by heart.
Yeah, most of it. At one point, I had Mark Antony's speech, like, memorized. But I could tell you all the beats of the play, most of the major characters and all that. And so, it's a Son of Rome. It's a Caesar track. So
absolutely. Related to Julius Caesar, right? The Son of Rome obviously takes place in Rome the entire game, which is actually a good game, too.
I don't know anything about it, so I can take your word for it. There's a lot of stuff out there about Rome and Caesar.
There really is. And Rise, Son of Rome, I had to think for a second, because I said it was a good game. It's not a bad game. I don't know if I would consider it a good game. It's probably an average game, thinking back. But it was a launch title for the Xbox One. And I bought an Xbox One right away before I traded it in a few months later, and then rebought. Well, actually, no, I never did. I didn't get another Xbox again until the Series X. But this is one of like the main reasons I wanted to get that stupid Xbox One, was because I thought this game looked so freaking dope. And it was cool, right? Being back in Rome and playing through this time period, and the soundtrack, as we just heard, it really fits the time period. But the game just kind of was okay.
Yeah, very, very epic swords and sandals kind of stuff. What kind of game was it?
This was basically like a slower version of Assassin's Creed.
Oh, okay.
Like similar thing, third person running around, action adventure type stuff, but not nearly as fluid and smooth.
Which we'll be talking about a little later.
As I knew we would.
Yeah. And of course, Caesar won't front load all of this, because we'll be coming back to Caesar a couple of times, but Julius Caesar was famously a dictator of Rome. Before that, he was one of three like heads of the Roman Senate, along with Pompey and another guy. I can't remember, Seneca, maybe? Anyway, less important. And then Caesar and Pompey had this power struggle, and Caesar defeated Pompey in battle and went back and basically became like the king of Rome. Kaiser, which was the German word for king, actually comes from Caesar. And so he was he ruled Rome until his assassination on March 15th.
Was that researched, or was that off the top of your head?
That's off the top of my head. I knew all that stuff.
That was all impressive.
Like in backstory for the play. So like I presented it as context whenever I taught it. So I know that stuff. And I know that like, Octavius is Caesar's nephew and became Caesar Augustus later on. Our month of July is named after Julius Caesar. Our month of August is named after Caesar Augustus. Fun fact, those 2 months were actually added into the calendar in their honor because there used to only be 10 months in the calendar. Which is why September, which is the ninth month, is Sept for seven. October is eight. November is nine. And December is 10. Even though they're, you know, like 2 months later than that, it's because July and August were added in. So
there you go.
There you go.
See, you're learning. this is basically, they could play this in an English class.
There you go.
On March 15th.
Well, in that case, if you're ready, we can go ahead and before the students all glaze over, that's usually what happened when I talked in class, we can go ahead and get to some more music.
I would have never guessed. Let's do it, man.
Starting out my first block, we are going to listen to Caesar's Legions from Total War Rome 2, released September 3rd, 2013, and composed by Richard Beddow. Next up in my first block, we are going to listen to The Prophet from Lufia II, Rise of the Sinistrals, released May 1996 and composed by Yasunori Shiono. Thank you. Closing out my first block, we are going to listen to Lunatic Eyes, Invisible Full Moon, or Reasons theme from Toho Shinpiroku, Urban Legend in Limbo, released May 10th, 2015, composed by Zun and arranged by Beat Mario. We'll be right back. coming back from my first theme, this one's going to be an easy one for you. We're first talking about Caesar's Legions from Total War Rome 2.
Yeah, this one I actually told you I actually had on my list as well, and then saw it on yours, so I was able to take it off, and because I really do like this track. I think this is a fantastic track, and we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, this is clearly about Julius Caesar, and when, more specifically, I would say, when he was, and would have been the reason I brought it as well, when he was in whatever they called their army.
Yeah. Commander, I think he's called a general in some areas, but I don't really know.
Yeah, I guess I don't really know what their titles are and what, you know what I mean? I have no idea. I just know he was a fierce warrior.
He definitely was. And so, yeah, like I said, Caesar commanded the legions, and his legions were victorious over Pompey's, which is how he became leader of Rome. So I thought that this one was fitting, and like I told you, I really liked the sound of it. There were several I could have picked to, like, I guess symbolize Caesar and his armies, but I liked the sound of this one the best, and it worked really well with your opening theme as well. Of course, I had no way of knowing that then, but yeah. And I will say there's only one of your tracks that I think I even came across while I was looking and I cut it from my list fairly early on just because it was similar to some other things that I knew I wanted more, but I'm curious
which one that is, actually.
I will let you know when we get to it.
I'm hoping it's not the one I'm thinking of, because I would have cut it for a completely different reason if that was the case.
We will see. We'll see. But yeah, I really like this one. You were telling me that the Total War games are RTS.
They are, yeah. They're actually perhaps one of my favorite RTS games. And I say that as a very, very casual fan of RTS games. And that's not even not really, right? Like, I play Warcraft. I've played StarCraft. And I've played Total War. And I've played a little bit of Civilization. And maybe a couple other things. I've played Age of Mythology, I think, a little bit. But, like, nothing that I ever stick with, right? So Total War, I own most of these, actually. Like, back when you were still buying the PC games in box and installing them, and that, like, I own Medieval Total War, Rome Total War, Medieval 2 Total War. I think I own Napoleon Total War. I own this one as well, Total War Rome 2. And I think this is the last one that I bought physically. And I do own Total War 3 Kingdoms on Steam.
Oh,
which
that,
came
that
out a few
cool.
years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
I love
cool.
the series, dude. And it always has excellent music in it. It really does.
Well, maybe I'll try it out sometime. I was never very good at the RTS games, but I never really tried to get into any of the single player campaigns in any of them. I only played with people, and they were always better than me. So that
and
probably
I generally
covered
only
my
play
impression.
The campaigns. I don't generally go competitive or multiplayer. Like, I generally just play through the campaigns.
I'm just kind of historically bad at any game that requires, like, multitasking and resource management. Like, I'm horrible at tower defense games for the same reason.
Sure. I just don't like those types of games, so I skip them.
Yeah. I tend to like things where I can either where I can slow down and stop and think about one thing at a time, or where I just power through, like, a level and I don't have to think about it. It's just kind of instinct. Those are the ones that I tend to prefer. If I want to be, like, in a crunch and having to figure stuff out on the fly, I'm usually playing puzzle games. So
there you go. Perfect.
And speaking of games where you can kind of take things at your pace and slow down, RPGs, you know, perfect
Indeed.
For that.
Indeed.
My next track is The Prophet from Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals by by one of the famous Yasunori's in VGM, Yasunori Shiono.
It's so weird having this game on an episode and me not being the one bringing a track from it. I'm fairly confident every Lufia 2 track on our spreadsheet was brought by me at one point or another throughout the of this show. I love this soundtrack, right? I've talked about it so many times. I'm a big fan of Yasunori Shiono. I think what he did here is phenomenal. This is the first one I don't know how it fits. So I was listening, and I've heard this song so many times. I was listening to it with this idea of the Ides of March in mind, and obviously with the title of the track as The Prophet, fairly certain, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know a lot about Julius Caesar, but I do not believe he was a prophet, but maybe he was.
That's correct.
He was not, or he was?
He was not.
Okay. But this track is very tragic, and it's very somber. So if I would have brought this with this in mind, it would have been because of his death. But I think that's not really, why you brought it. That's not why
it's a really good idea. You're thinking too hard about it, though. So what is the name of this episode going to be?
The Ides of March.
So just the Ides of March, because I thought you had down Beware the Ides of March as the name of the episode.
No, I just have it as Ides of March.
Huh, okay. Well, do you know where, like, why we say Beware the Ides of March?
Maybe. I don't know off the top of my head, no.
Yeah. So in the play... and I don't know if this was like popular, like legend. I may have known at one time, but I forgot if it was legend that this happened or if totally invented by Shakespeare. But in the play, there is a soothsayer that Caesar passes by during a parade celebrating his victory over Pompey. And the soothsayer stops him and tells him, beware the Ides of March. And this is like a day or two before the Ides. And
okay.
So he was kind of foreshadowing. He was the prophet. He was foreshadowing what was going to happen later. And actually later on in the play, on the Ides of March, Caesar's on his way to the Senate and he happens to see the soothsayer on his way there. And he says, the Ides of March are come. And the soothsayer says, aye, Caesar, but not gone. So,
I hope that actually happened, because that's pretty dope if so. Like, still tragic and sad, as this track is, as I mentioned, tragic
it
and
is,
sad.
Yeah, it really is. And I have no idea the context of this track in the game. I've never played Luvia 2, but...
I've played it, but I couldn't tell you. I've only played through it once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very long time ago.
But I like your reason, too, so we can say they're both right.
Nah, man, I need to know why you brought it. That's just, you know, I would have never thought to bring this episode, but had I did, that would have been why.
And then switching gears entirely musically, from the slow tragic The Prophet to this balls to the wall Toho track. And man, Toho music is always so good. I know very little about the series. Jeff could tell us a lot, but before we get into that, though, I'm really curious to see if you know why I brought Lunatic Eyes or Invisible Full Moon.
No, man, I got no idea. Once again, this is another one that I am absolutely stumped on. it is a very energetic track. It's basically club electronica music, which is really dope. I mean, I love the way this sounds. I'm fairly certain I've heard this before somewhere because it sounded familiar, but I know I've never played this game. I was telling you I've played some of the Toho games.
Yeah.
How does it fit? Okay, so what I would say, Lunatic Eyes, Invisible Full Moon. I was writing down words that came to mind as I was listening to it, and I literally wrote full moon ? Like, there's no way, absolutely no way that this is because there was a freaking full moon on the night he was assassinated or some shit. But I have no idea, man.
So the Ides of March, before it became famous for the day that Caesar was assassinated, the Romans didn't like keep track of the days like we do, like the first of the month and the 30th or whatever. They had the nuns, which would be like the 5th or the 7th and the like 3 days preceding that. That gave way to the Ides, which was the 3 days preceding usually the 13th, but in a couple of months like March, it was the 15th. And then you had the calends, which is the days preceding the first of the next month. It's actually where our word calendar comes from. So you had the nuns, the Ides, and the calends.
Okay.
And the Ides were the middle of the month. So usually the 13th, like I said, sometimes the 15th. But before that became common practice, the Ides of March specifically were the first full moon of the new year.
Oh, so it is related to the full moon.
And it's because the Ides of March was usually a full moon festival.
Okay.
And so
then, I was kind of right.
On that.
Full moon.
So yeah, it is because of the full moon. Not really anything to do with Caesar himself, but with the Ides of March.
It doesn't have to.
There you go.
It doesn't have to do with Caesar.
Right.
One of my tracks does not deal with Caesar at all. So
yeah, and I think I'm not going to go there. So also Lunatic, if for anybody who doesn't know, that comes from this old idea that the moon can affect like our mood. It's like lunatics are people that are more deeply affected by the moon, and that's why they go crazy.
Yeah. Luna.
And And this actually, I was looking at some of the comments. This is about a boss fight when you're fighting this this chick in Toho 14.5 named Reason. So it's Reason's theme. And yeah, she's a boss fight. It's funny that her name is Reason, if that's pronounced, because she's crazy. That's like the opposite of what Reason is, but that's why it's called Lunatic Eyes. That's also why the song is so frantic. This, I think, like you said in the details that you gave me, it was arranged by an original track by Zun. That original track was probably used in other Toho games. And then it was remixed for this, but it was remixed into this like crazy frantic style because it was supposed to be for this Crazy Girls theme. So
yeah,
but yeah, I that's it. So that was my first block.
Oh man, I really enjoyed that last track. I did. I'm still listening to it right now. I'm impressed. It has 1.7 million views. That's really impressive.
Yeah, Toho music is pretty popular, man. Probably the most famous one is Bad Apple. Also, UN Owen Was Her is a pretty famous Toho track. My favorite Toho track I've ever found is called Let's Live in a Lovely Cemetery. I don't remember which Toho game it's from or how I found it, but it's a really fantastic track. I played it a couple of times on Very Good Music. So
nice. Yeah, like I said, I've played a few of the games, but I couldn't even tell you which ones. Likely on the PS4 when I was doing reviews for a lot of things very quickly, but
yeah,
I don't know which ones they were.
The only game I've really heard a lot about is Luna Knights, because Jeff really likes that game. It's apparently on the Switch as well, but it's a pretty cool looking game. It's a Metroidvania style
nice
game. So
well, very nice.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm eager to get into your next block, man.
Yeah, I am not eager because I like I said, I mentioned I replaced that Total War Rome 2 track with something. This opening track of this block is that something. Now, I decided, right, like, we'll probably never, ever play another track from this game again. And I figured, you know, once, I'll do it once. I'm not particularly proud of it, but it fits the theme.
Okay.
And again, we've never played this game before, so I didn't even know this game existed. This game doesn't even exist on certain websites when you look up games. Like, it's very hard to find, but when I found the cover art, I totally remember seeing it in, like, Blockbuster and stuff. I totally remember seeing it. Anyway, let's kick this block off by taking a listen, and it's only a minute, and I'm probably not even going to loop it twice. The name of the track is Caesar from Xena, Talisman of Fate. This released on December 6th, 1999, and it was composed by Eric Nunnemaker. Next, let's take a listen to Turn Up Boy Go from Turn Up Boy Commits Tax Evasion. This released on April 22nd, 2021, and it was composed by James Currier and Ryan Borbone, featuring Yuki Dong on vocals.
stop fighting because you're here. I'm not afraid because you're here.
Last up in this block, let's go ahead and take a listen to Showstopper from Hitman. This released on March 11th, 2016, and it was composed by Niels by Nielsen. Coming back in, we are talking about Caesar from Xena, Talisman of Fate, again composed by Eric Nunemaker. Why did I bring this one? Everyone's asking that question.
Yeah, I think that this might be the last one of yours that I don't have to, or that is just kind of obvious from the get-go. obviously, we're talking about Caesar.
I'm glad that's the case. Yeah, we're talking about Caesar.
Yeah, and this is actually one of the ones that was on my list at one point.
No way.
Then after we listened to it, I think I told you earlier that I cut the game because it sounded similar to other ones I liked better. No, I cut it after I heard it. I was like, oh, that's a nothing song.
That's okay. So when you said you cut the track because it sounded similar to other things you had heard, that's why I was like, okay, well, I know he can't be talking about Xena because that doesn't sound like anything that's probably on the episode.
Yeah. No, it's got some of the same, like, it tries to be like this epic orchestral song, like our opening tracks were, but it's not. It's
a Nintendo 64 game.
Man.
Ugh. And that console, you know, it's put out some pretty good stuff.
It has.
Some good sounding stuff.
Especially, you know, the Rare and the Nintendo first party stuff is obviously the best stuff on the system. But
I will say this is not bad. Like
It's not an actively bad track.
No, it's not like terrible by any stretch of the imagination. It is just very, very bland, right? It's very generic.
And it's super compressed. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say it sounds weird.
It sounds like somebody trying to make a soundtrack inspired by Shadows of the Empire, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire.
Okay.
But whoever was composing it just didn't have the same chops as, you know, John Williams.
Sure. Eric Nunemaker.
More power to you, man. You made a published 13. Video game soundtrack. So
yeah, he's going to compose episode 13. What are they on now? They've done 7, 8, 9. Have they done 10, 11, and 12 yet for Star Wars? Because Eric Nunemaker is waiting to compose episode 13 whenever they do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, I seriously doubt it.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, man. Moving into a really fun track called Turnip Boy Go from Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, again composed by James Currier and Ryan Borbone, featuring Yuki Dong on vocals. Why did I bring
Yuki Dong, the illustrious Yuki Dong? I am gonna say, like you said, we didn't do any research. I was looking through some of the comments while
I always do.
I was doing. And I mean, I know that this plays during a secret boss fight, but I don't know who the secret boss is.
Okay.
So it could be something to do with that. It could just be because Turnip Boy goes around acting like a total tool the whole time. That's
such
kind
a good game.
Partially what got Caesar killed. There is a lot of stabbing in the game.
Ooh. Ooh, your second idea there would have been a brilliant one to tie to this, but that has nothing to do with it.
Tax evasion, I mean, Caesar and taxes. There you go. Okay.
There it is. So the Ides of March, right? One of the only other things I know about the Ides of March is that the Romans used to, like, that was their tax day or something, right?
They used
to, I don't know if it was like what we consider taxes, but I know it was a big financial day for them one way or another.
Yeah.
And Turnip Boy doesn't want to pay his taxes at all, man. He tax evasion, and soon he's going to be robbing a bank.
That's right. That is right. I'm a little way into Turnip Boy. I've only gotten through like the first couple of areas, but it's so fun, man. It's so charming.
It's such a good game, and this song is
this
so
track
energetic.
Is great, dude.
It's so much fun, dude. It's so energetic. It has different parts to it as well. There's like a little moment there where it goes into a almost jazzy ensemble for a second, right? I'm trying to find where it's at in the track. 53 seconds in, it goes into like just some basic trumpet, drums, normal instruments, and then it comes back. Such a fun track, man. It's so good. The first time I heard it in the game, I fell in love with it.
Yep. I'm looking forward to getting there in game. It's gonna be fun. This one may be the next one to go on my list.
Yeah, that way you can be ready to download
all of the BitTrip games on Switch. So
did you?
Might plow through those first. Knockout.
How many are there now? Are there three?
There are six in the core series. BitTrip Beat, BitTrip Core, BitTrip Void, BitTrip Runner, BitTrip Fate, and BitTrip Flux.
Now, I'm assuming you bought a bundle.
Yeah, there's a bundle. It may still be on sale on the Switch. I know the sale was ending fairly soon, but you can get all six of them pretty cheap. And I also recently beat Runner 2, Future Legend of Rhythm Alien, which is the sequel to BitTrip Runner. And it's just like an Endless Runner style, except it has levels, so it's not really endless. But then Runner 3 apparently came out at one point. I don't know. I have never been huge into like the BitTrip series, but I liked Runner 2 a lot. So, and these were cheap, so I got them.
Nice.
But yeah, talking about retro-inspired games, I guess that's, you know, Turnip Boy is basically linked to the past, but about a turnip that commits tax evasion and is a tool. So
it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. What a great game. I am looking forward to the sequel later this year, hopefully. I think it's supposed to come out this year. So
I think so, yeah.
And then my final track of that block, we move into Hitman, the 2016 reboot, talking about Showstopper, composed by Niels By Nielsen. I don't know if I ever say his name right. I think I do, but I don't know. I probably don't, actually. why did I bring this track?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, sorry. This one actually, Caesar was assassinated on the Ides of March.
Absolutely.
And yeah,
Agent 47 is a master assassin, dude. And I love this series. But this reboot, as I said to you while we were listening to it, this reboot was really something special in the way that it opened up the gameplay to allow 47 to put on so many different costumes and become so many different characters. And they give you so many different ways to do everything. Mm-hmm. So many different ways to enter a building. So many different ways to take out a target. So many different ways to blend in. Things to do, like side shit to do in the different stages that you're going through. And they released it episodically, which I thought was actually really fun too, even though I was, you know, kind of against some of the more episodic releases of games at the time. The way they did it was really fun, because they would put out an episode, maybe like a month and a half to 2 months separation between, but in between they would release like contracts that would change up the levels that were already in the game, put different characters you had to take out in there doing different things, and just made it a very dynamic, like always changing levels and missions. Such a fun game. Soundtrack's really, really good too. This has some like heavy, obviously it's a stealth spy, right? He's an assassin, but you get some James Bond Mission Impossible vibes from this too.
Yeah. I really like it. It's very creepy. It's ambient in the best way. Like, it's not boring ambient. It's you're still engaged, even though it's not a super active track. There's a lot to listen to here. So
absolutely.
I didn't even realize how long it was when I was listening to it.
Oh, yeah, it's almost 5 minutes,
as long as that Toho track.
Yeah. It's lengthy.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, good stuff. And a far cry from that Xena track.
Yeah. Man, I don't usually bring tracks that I don't think are at least good.
I know. But hey, it fits, I had
to make an exception because it fits. And like I said, you know, we're never going to probably play another track from Xena Talisman of Fate. There's a few other Xena games. I think there's one on the Game Boy. We'll probably never bring another track from another Xena game. So, you know, show her some love. She's a warrior princess.
Yeah, I might have to check out that Game Boy track. Game Boy music is usually not bad. So we'll see. But yeah, man, nice block there. Turnip Boy, kind of the dark horse coming out. I'm glad I was able to figure out what that was for. So
yeah, you had a lot of good ideas, though. You tied it into a lot of different possibilities. That was really cool.
You're probably not going to have a whole lot of issue with the rest of my tracks, but
no, I'm pretty sure I know the remaining four of yours. I'm pretty sure.
But the music in my next block, though, is pretty good. So what do you say we go ahead and get into it?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, moving from Hitman, which you said this was intentional. So
it,
cool.
It was.
We're going to move on to Backstab from Payday 2, released August 13th, 2013. This was composed by Simon Vicklund. We'll be right back.
This is Kyle, and one day you can be too. Every Friday, I host what is soon to be your favorite podcast, The Media Files. Me and one of my best friends talk about pop culture happening so that you don't look like an uncultured swine during those boring water cooler conversations. Laughs are shared, tears are cried, and sometimes we have really interesting special guests that you might be familiar with. Download The Media Files wherever you download podcasts, and remember, be kind, be honest, and we'll see you later.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Next up, we're going to listen to Death from Lost Chronicles, Fall of Caesar, released May 1st, 2011, composer unknown. Rounding out my second block, we're going to listen to Legions of Blood from Assassin's Creed Origins, released October 27th, 2017, composed by Sarah Schachner. coming back from my second block. We're first talking about Backstab from Payday 2. And now I just really want to go get a couple of paydays and just chow down on them. But
different kind of payday here.
Definitely so. So why did I bring this track?
Well, this block is not very challenging, right?
Right.
Based off of either the name of a title of the track or just what the game is about. This is obviously because Caesar was backstabbed, right? Et tu, Brute, or whatever, right?
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. Et tu, Brute. Because Brutus was Caesar's homeboy, dude. He was like Caesar's favorite. And he was the one who delivered, apocryphally, he was the one who delivered the final blow. And it actually was not in the back, in the play. It's usually staged where Caius Cassius, the kind of really the force behind the assassination attempt, stabs Caesar in the back at the beginning of the attack. But Brutus waits until Caesar turns around and stabs him in the chest. Because Brutus is an honorable man. But, yep, that's exactly what it was. But
yeah, I had a feeling, but yeah, this track is so dope. I was actually like, man, are we still waiting for Payday 3? Because I had forgotten that game has not released yet. Still set to come out. It's been set to come out for like the last 3 years or something, but it was moved to 2023, and now we'll see if it actually comes out or not. These games are fun. It's basically if the heists from Grand Theft Auto were just an entire game about that, but kind of like done in match style like Call of Duty. They're okay. Not my favorite type of game. But this track, dude, the second half is so much better than the first half of this track.
See, I like them both, but that second half, it's, you know, like you said, it's got that rave sound to it.
It is so good.
It's definitely like, you know, it's club. Okay, I can picture myself in a, like this
dark,
underground,
gritty club.
Club with lots of sweaty bodies pressed up, just kind of grinding and the strobes going off. And yeah.
Keep talking. I'm almost there.
But yeah, man, it's a really cool track. Nice drum and bass trap kind of thing going on. Was getting some, you know, some of those Koshiro Streets of Rage vibes in that second
half. A
little
bit, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wonder if he's heard this track before. He'd probably like it. Hey, if he's still listening, he's heard it now.
Probably would. He probably
would.
Can you
imagine if he was still listening?
That would be... Man, Koshiro-san, if you are still there, please let us know, because that would be so cool. Or maybe don't, or don't, because that way, if we don't hear anything, we can still think, well, he just
didn't he's just too busy, right? He's just too busy.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want us to know. He doesn't want us to know how dumb he thinks we are, because we don't know what the hell we're talking about half the time. Well, you do. I don't. I never know what I'm talking about.
I'm just really good at faking it, man. It comes from teaching for so many years. Yeah, that leads us to my next one. After Backstab, we get Death from Lost Chronicles: Fall of Caesar, apparently published by National Geographic of all things.
Yeah, Nat Geo Games.
Finding
maybe.
Info about this one.
I could not find really anything on this outside of the fact that it's basically like a encyclopedia and told through a game. It's like I think
you
it's
got visual novels and then you got visual encyclopedias.
You got visual encyclopedias, but I think what are those types of games called where you're like finding things like.
Searching, like the hidden,
like hidden object
puzzles or something.
Yeah, that's like what this game is. Why did you bring this? Well, it's about the death of Julius Caesar. He's dead.
There you go.
He was stabbed in the back.
The game is called Fall of Caesar. So,
and the track is called Death. Chapter 6, Death, I assume. This is the last chapter.
Maybe. It wasn't the last chapter of the, or the last act of the play. It was just just act 3, the climax. So, you know,
That is true. There is some more after in the Shakespeare version, yeah. And I'm sure, obviously, you know, time marched on after Caesar died, so of course there was things after.
Yeah, there was definitely some fallout after that. And no, not for him. Not for him. Yeah, you don't hear much about Caesar after this. Apparently, according to Dante's Inferno, Brutus and Cassius are in the very bottom circle of hell, along with Judas being eaten by Satan forever, because, you know, they're traitors, and, you know, Dante was a patriotic Roman.
Indeed.
But you don't hear much about Julius Caesar, so
you don't.
Although he's obviously stood the test of time. Everybody still talks about him. So
This is another very, as it should be, a very somber and melancholy track. But as it should be.
Yes. Yeah. And the production value doesn't look super great on this. I mean, like, it's from 2011, but you said it looks like something from, like, 1997.
And I don't even know if I'm right, dude. That was the only release date I found for this game. Like I said, I could not find anything on this. There's no gameplay footage that I could find. No information on anything. One website had May 1st, 2011 listed, and I was like, all right, there it is. But couldn't find a composer, couldn't find anybody that attached their name to this game.
I don't know where I found this. I think so. Some things I just like thought of keywords that I associated with the Ides of March and looked up things with those keywords on YouTube and KH Insider, and that's kind of it. But so this came up at some point, I'm sure, when I was looking at Caesar. So
sure.
Yeah. But the production value on the sound is really nice. The it's instruments clean. Sound really clean.
Yeah. Really good.
I love the flute in this track. It's really adds to that melancholy feeling.
Absolutely. And
but my last track, really love this, dude. Legions of Blood from Assassin's Creed Origins. I love the sound of this track.
I think Sarah Schachner is one of my favorite modern composers, up there with like the Austin Winteries, as I talked about in that composer appreciation episode we did on him. Mm-hmm. Ever since, you know, she broke in with Assassin's Creed Unity as her first like major title. She had contributed to a few things before that: Modern Warfare 3, The Run, Need for Speed, Far Cry 3, Army of 2, and Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. But Unity was the first one where her name was really attached to it, and then from there she did Origins and Valhalla, also doing Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, and then Anthem. I've really enjoyed everything she's done. I'm glad you brought this track, dude, because I thought, and I actually did, just in case, have something saved from Assassin's Creed Origins to bring for this episode. It was not this track, but this is an amazing track as well. Julius Caesar is in Assassin's Creed Origins. So is Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they were linked together somehow.
They were, yeah. But legend had it that they were lovers. But also that Cleopatra was Mark Antony's lover, and Antony was like Caesar's protege. They weren't related, but he was like a devotee of Caesar's and one of Caesar's favorites. So
the name of the title of the song being Legions of Blood, I'm assuming this was brought because of all the blood that was spilled around that. Like
around what specifically?
Like Caesar, Cleopatra, and Mark Antony.
Actually, no. That's a very good guess. But so let me tell you this. My six tracks follow a pattern. And
okay. Your six tracks, so not including your playout.
Not including my playout. My playout's kind of like an unrelated epilogue. It's a bonus track.
Okay.
But my six main tracks all follow the story of Caesar as told in the play.
Okay.
So you got Caesar's Legions.
Okay.
You know, at the beginning where he the whole reason that he became the leader was because of his army and overcoming Pompey. Then you had the prophet foretelling his doom on the Ides of March, which happened to be, you know, the full moon festival. So that the full moon thing wasn't super involved, but then the Ides of March actually has to come. And so that's when the Ides of March was on the full moon. Okay. Originally. Then you've got he's backstabbed by his friends and compatriots. Mm-hmm. And then he dies.
Okay.
And then there's a war because he died. Mark Antony leads legions into battle against Brutus and Cassius. Mark Antony and Caesar's nephew Octavian lead an army into battle against Brutus and Cassius. And so you start with Caesar's legions, and then you end with Legions of Blood. And that was my thing for the episode. That's how I decided to finish it up.
That's intelligent.
When I was organizing my tracks, that's how I decided to do it. So
that was very expertly put together. I like that. Very nicely done, dude. You definitely you stepped it up more than I did for this episode. You actually put a story behind your six.
I don't know, man. You've got me stumped on some of these last tracks. So
one of these should be real easy. But
let's see. Let's see what I can figure out here.
One of these should be real easy. And you just can't tell because you don't know the name of the track because it doesn't say it in the actual name. But
gotcha.
If you look at the thumbnail, you can see it.
Okay.
But I am very excited to jump to this block because I want to see where your mind goes for two of these tracks. All right, let's do this.
I'm in, man. Let's do it.
Let's do this. And I am so excited to be bringing this first track here. I'm assuming you've heard all of the soundtrack from this game. But,
I'm probably at one point or another, I'm sure.
This is just so good. So let's take a listen to Brave Trigger, the 8-bit version from Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. This released on June 18th, 2019, and it was composed by Michiro Yamane. Coming up next, we'll be taking a listen to Raceways from Mario Kart 64. This released on February 10th, 1997, and it was composed by Kenta Nagata. We'll be right back. last up in this block. And before we close the episode out in general, let's go ahead and take a listen to Lux et Veritas, otherwise known as Light and Truth, from Caesar 4. This released on September 26, 2006, and it was composed by Keith Zizza. Coming back in, we are talking about Brave Trigger, the 8-bit version from Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night, again composed by Michiro Yamani. Why did I bring this track?
I mean, the Bloodstained connection is obvious.
It is.
But you didn't know about the Full Moon Festival thing, but you got Ritual going on.
I did not know about the Full Moon thing, but you actually just there hit both reasons why I did bring this track.
Okay.
So Bloodstained obviously was the obvious one, right? But after getting stabbed and all that, there's going to be stains of blood, right? It's going to be Bloodstained. But I do know And I don't know. I did not know about the full moon ritual and festival and all of that. But I do know there used to be some element of sacrifice around the Ides of March.
Yeah, yeah.
Like animal sacrifice.
Yeah. Late in my research, I found that it was... I actually almost brought Jupiter from the Planets by Gustav Holst was featured in... one of the Forza games, I think. I almost brought that, but then it didn't really mesh. And I guess it could have fit as my playout, but I really wanted to have the playout that I have. Like, that was the first track I picked for this episode. So, but yeah, so it was a sacred holiday to Jupiter, and animal sacrifice was part of that. So,
well, there you go. But what a hell of a track, dude. This is so good. Obviously,
I mean, it's Mitsuru Yamane basically doing a new generation of Castlevania. So
that's what was so exciting about this soundtrack. And I mean, just I remember when it came out, when it did, listening to it start to finish. I hadn't even played the game yet, but I had already heard every track in there, right? And as I do a lot, I mean, I've already listened to the entire soundtrack to Octopath Traveler 2, and I haven't even touched the game. But I do that often, but I tend to do it a lot for either A, research for the show, or B, if I just really enjoy the composer or the type of sound that music is. And for Bloodstained, it happened to be both, right? I just love that style of music, but it's also Mitsuru Yamane. This is excellent. This is absolutely incredible. They did for Bloodstained, which we have mentioned on the show before, but just way back when, they did like 8-bit and modern versions of some of the tracks in the game, which was super dope.
Yeah, man. This is a really, really cool track, man. I like it a lot.
Yeah, very cool. Very mysterious sounding. Very Castlevania, right? As it should be. So really, really well done. Then we move into my middle track of that block, Raceways from Mario Kart 64. Raceways and technically Mario Stadium, actually. This is the track that plays in both Raceways and Wario Stadium. And this was, of course, composed by Kenta Nagata. Why did I bring this track?
So I said I thought I had it.
If you can get this one,
I'm rethinking myself.
I'm going to be shocked. This is the one that is kind of out there, but I want to see if you can kind of...
Okay.
If you think about it, you might be able to get it.
So it did play on Mario Raceway. It also played on the Peach's Castle course, Peach being a ruler, Caesar was a ruler. Okay. But I was thinking about Wario and Wario Stadium. I think that in one of the other games, there was a Wario Coliseum, and I was getting it mixed up. Wario Stadium was my favorite track to race on back when I had this game.
Damn, if it would have been Wario Coliseum, that would have been another big brain moment of yours. But that's not what I had in mind. That would have been incredible, though.
So, yeah, I got nothing, dude. So you got me stumped on this one.
This one, the idea behind this track, it ties in to a title of a track that you played in your previous block.
Okay.
Something debuted in Mario Kart 64 that wasn't in the SNES version, the original version, but debuted here and has been in every version since. If I'm in last place or close to last place and you're in first place, what can I get?
You can get the spiny shell.
Absolutely, I can.
Yeah, the spiny blue shell. And
I could stab you in the back and take first place.
Take out. That's right. That is exactly right, man. Man, what a great connection. That's awesome.
I also wanted to have a better N64 track on the episode after the Xena song. So
this was pretty good. Pretty good. Not the best track from Mario Kart 64.
No, but damn it, I've stripped this game clean, dude. I checked our spreadsheet to see what I could choose because there wasn't much left. It was like this or Moo Moo Farms.
Oh, the Moo Moo Farms. That's great. Oh, man.
And that didn't have the sound that I really thought fit with Julius Caesar. No, this doesn't either, but damn it, it's better than Moo Moo Farms. And that's not a bad track either.
It's not. There's not really a bad track in Mario 64. Kart 64.
Kenta Nagata did a fantastic
game, man.
This is still the Mario Kart game that I have the fondest memories of, as I've mentioned many times. Mario 64 is the Mario game that I have the fondest memory. Like, it's just that time period, so...
I mean, I can't say there's never been a Mario Kart game better than Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but
true. No, that is game top to bottom, my favorite best Mario Kart game. But this is my favorite one.
Mario Kart 64 is my favorite. Yeah. I have so many memories of like playing it with my friends, and it's just so good. I had to when I got the 64, Mario, the N64 on Nintendo, the NSO expansion pass, one of the first things I did was jumped in and I went to Rainbow Road. And
every time I do something like that Mario Kart's available on, that's the very first thing I jump into as well. When I got my SNES Classic, first thing I booted up was Super Mario Kart.
Yep, yeah.
I mean, it's just where I go to.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
But yeah, and backstabbing.
Yeah. Good stuff. What do you think, real quick before we get to your last track, what do you think about this whole rumor that we're going to actually get an original character in the Super Mario Brothers movie that features the origin of the spiny shell? Have you seen?
I didn't even know that was a rumor, dude.
If you look at the poster that has all the major characters on it,
okay,
one of the characters is a Koopa that just looks like a Koopa Trooper, but he has a blue spiny shell. And it's the first time we have ever seen an actual Koopa Trooper with a blue spiny shell. We've seen blue shell Koopas, but never a blue spiny Koopa.
The one he's got wings on his back, and you're right.
He's a blue spiny paratrooper.
His hat is a blue spiny helmet. Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah. So there's been some minor talk going on about that. But man, I'm so excited for that movie. It looks so fun.
I will watch it, but I don't know that I watch it in theaters.
We're going to. It's good. It's like a family movie night for us. We're going to go watch it. So
I'm by myself. I don't know that I'm going to go check out Mario.
I definitely hear you.
You know, I don't know that I'm going to go crash showing a Super Mario Brothers by myself.
You don't want to be the creepy loner in the back of in the theater full of kids.
I'm not going to Pee Wee Herman it up. So.
All right. Well, before we get too far down that road, let's get back to some light and truth.
Yeah. Moving into my last track from Caesar 4. This is some Latin that I'm going to mispronounce here. Lux et Veritas. Otherwise, probably not too bad.
Lux, I think, but Lux, maybe. I'm not sure. I might be getting mixed up with modern Latin languages.
I was just thinking of
but
Luxor, right? But that's also Egyptian. Yeah. but Lux et Veritas, otherwise, I'm assuming, translates to light and truth. This was composed by Keith Zizza, and I assume you know why I brought this one.
Oh yeah, it's from the Caesar series. These are puzzle games, I think, right?
They are.
Yeah, because I found a couple of these when I was doing my research, and there were some pretty decent tracks. Gave me kind of a Columns vibe, like on the Mega Drive, the ones I listened to. But this is really nice. I didn't get as far as Caesar 4, so
I started by listening to music in Caesar 2, and I found a track. Okay, I found a track in that soundtrack as I was going through some comments on YouTube. Some user had mentioned that track I was listening to ended up becoming this track in Caesar 4, and that it was way better. So then I jumped immediately to Caesar 4 and found this track, and I was like, oh wow, he's right, it's really good. And then I started listening to some other things from Caesar 4, and nothing really stood out to me as much as this one did. So we just went with this one.
Yeah, man, good stuff. Very nice. I really liked the spread we had on this episode. We had
anticipating so many different genres and sounds.
Yeah. And of course, you get a lot of epic warfare type stuff with, you know, Caesar. But
of course.
But yeah, I think we've got a great presentation here of Ides of March related stuff. And
what a dope idea, man.
It was a great idea.
Man, I have a lot of fun with the composer appreciation episodes. I have a lot of fun with our normal stuff, right? Everything that we do, but there was something about this one, not knowing anything and not talking about it, not planning anything, and just bringing stuff that I really enjoyed.
It's almost like a grab bag, but it's like a themed grab bag where almost anything goes as long as you have some way to connect it. And I like your idea of like us trying to figure out why the other one brought the track. That was added some,
and I mean, granted, we did really well. Now, you did stump me with the Lufia track. I was actually surprised that Full Moon was the reasoning behind Toho, but we, by and large, we did pretty well figuring out why each person brought the tracks. They did.
Yeah, and you nearly had me with Turnip Boy, and you did stump me with the Mario Kart.
Mario Kart's the only one I stumped you on. Yeah, that's it.
Overall, good stuff.
But as soon as I gave you one hit, and you had it, so that was it.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully you actually get this out on March 15th. That would be fantastic.
You and me both. I hope I do. Obviously, that's the goal, right? Now, the composer appreciation episode on Matt Furness is available, so make sure you go check that out. It did post a little late. It posted several days late, which in turn will delay the episode that went up last week, or the one before this one, our spotlight episode on Octopath Traveler 2, that likely posted on Saturday the 11th. But so hopefully that gives me a couple days separation. I really do want this to post on March 15th.
Yep.
And like early in March 15th. Like, I want it to be available March 15th for everybody. So, which means I'm probably releasing it Tuesday night.
But if it doesn't, I'm not going to kill you. So,
oh, you might though. At two bedroth.
Oh man, but we're not quite done yet.
We still got something different to close us out here.
Yeah, I do. We still got to talk. I'm going to get you copyright tagged. We still got to get you.
Sorry, you know they do that now.
Yep, I have heard.
Because of the music I usually put in the media files for Kyle, so many of his episodes get flagged now, and I just say, "Hey, dude, it's for use. Like, come at me."
Yeah.
And they haven't came at me yet. So
hopefully this one is old enough that it's not going to be that big a deal.
Come at me. Like,
there you go. Nothing's gonna happen. So yeah, we're going to close out with a popular tune. This is from a
whole fucking episode of licensed music.
You also just dropped an F-bomb on your one show that you try to keep.
You know. It's the Ides of March, man. It's the Ides of March.
You never know what's going to happen.
You never know. That's right.
Beware the Ides of March. But yeah, so we're going to listen to Vehicle from the band, the Ides of March. This was, I want to say, like early 80s, late 70s. The lead singer for the Ides of March was actually
the
bassist.
I actually put it in there. March 1970.
There you go. Okay, March 1970. I didn't remember that it was that old, but yeah. So Vehicle by the Ides of March, this track was featured in Far Cry 5. It was, again, released originally in March 1970, but featured in-game on March 27th, 2018. The track was written and composed by Jim Petterick. My dad might actually be able to tell you.
Yeah, he might know who that is. He's obviously just somebody from the Ides of March, right? He's probably the guitarist or lead singer or something. So
yeah, and I don't know if it's him or some other guy, but he was the bassist in the band Survivor, who wrote was famous because of their stuff on the Rocky movies. But
yeah,
also,
I Am the Tiger, dude. It's
yeah, the also had Eye of the Tiger. Also had some good tracks on their own, but yeah. So this is. That's really it. So Shoot Kapow plays trumpet in the high school band, and the band has played the Ides of March at football games for the past couple of years at least, and there is a solo a trumpet solo in this that is just super great. I think it might actually be adapting the guitar solo that you hear in this, but for trumpet. And
okay.
One of the senior trumpet players almost always gets that solo, and this year it was all Shoots, and she just loved it. She blew it out of the park. And so I knew about the track. I actually got my dad to play it on his rock and roll show on Saturday night for the kids to listen, and Shoot Kapow got a kick out of that. And so I knew it was by the Ides of March. And then when I saw that this was the episode topic, I was like, I have to find, if that was in a video game, we are going to play it. So
oh yeah,
there we go. You'll get to hear it closing out the show.
And you brought this track because the name of the band is the Ides of March.
There you go. Yeah. I really tried to stump you on that one.
Nailed it. This is a cool track though. I definitely heard it. I'm not super familiar with this song, but I didn't know it when it first started. It took me until the chorus to figure out that I had heard it before.
And a lot of people are probably going to be like that. This was not a super well-known track, but it's one that has been in like movies and stuff, and so it's one people will remember. Very 70s funk sounding. So
very nice.
But yeah, man, and that's it for me. I don't have anything to plug. So,
nothing to plug?
So I'm good. Nothing to plug.
Good. All right. Well,
Movie
damn.
Bar is still on. Supposedly sometime in March we're gonna do Liar Liar, but that's about
okay.
It. So not quite there
very
yet.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Well, I don't have anything either, so I guess that is unfortunately going to bring us to the close of the show for this week. We do want to thank you for sticking with us, listening to another episode of BG Mania made possible, of course, by RPGR.com. If you like video game music, and more importantly, you like us and you want to help us grow this show, check the description box for ways you can do just that, including a link to join our Discord community. Click it, join it, and interact with us. Bedroth, it's been a while since you've had the closer. What are we going out with?
So yeah, one more time, we're going to listen to Vehicle by the band The Ides of March, written and composed by Jim Petterick, and this was featured in Far Cry 5 on March 27th, 2018.
Keep the music playing and keep it loud.
Stranger in the black sedan, oh, won't you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman, by now I'm sure you know that I love you, love you. I need you,
need you.
I want you, got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love. You know I